This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Matt Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. We want to get his thoughts today as Vermont becomes the fourth state to legalize gay marriage and just the second in the last few days to do so, this time, though, by the legislative process. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
It seemed like it was just a few days ago, and of course it was, that the House and the Senate in Vermont passed this. Originally, it was a very close vote in the House. In fact, the House rejected it. They recalled the vote. Narrowly, it passed. And today, for some reason, it seemed to pass by more than two-thirds margin. Now, what can you tell us to shed some light on what happened up there?
Well, it certainly did pass stunningly. It was an override of Governor Jim Douglas's veto of the bill, and the Senate overrode it by a vote of 23-5, and the House of Representatives by a vote of 100-49. So obviously there were a number of votes that shifted sides. I think they really got lobbied by the homosexual lobby in Vermont, and they must have felt the pressure and changed their vote. And apparently the people, which obviously the majority of people, indicated in Vermont, do support marriage as one man, one woman, but apparently they just didn't show up when the time was right to show up. So in this case, I believe it's a sad day in America when elected officials are clueless about the definition of marriage, and if they can't understand that basic relationship between a man and a woman, I doubt that they're competent to be in public office.
Now, one of the other things that's going on here, and you mentioned this, I believe, also in your statement following this overriding of the governor's veto in Vermont, is that there is a concerted strategy to get every state in New England to legalize gay marriage by 2012, correct?
There is a strategy to do that by 2012. And, of course, now what we have is Massachusetts, and that came in by a court order, 4-3 decision in 2004. And this is the first one in the country, Vermont, to come in through the legislative route. No other place in the country have we had same-sex marriage through the legislature, but now they're trying to move up around those other surrounding areas. You've got Connecticut in that area as well, and so they're trying to get the whole New England section of the United States to legalize same-sex marriage. I think the fact of the matter is that these efforts have primarily been successful only by a one-judge margin in Massachusetts, 4-3. In California, it was a 4-3 vote on the California Supreme Court. That has been overridden by a constitutional amendment of the people. This one is different because this is by the legislature, and we've never seen that happen before.
What is the significance, then, of the legislative process? For a long time now, you and others have said that this judicial activism has been a blight on America, and that if the will of the people were to be expressed, either through a ballot initiative or even the legislative process, that it would be a different type of animal. So now that this has happened in Vermont, what is the significance of it, and what does it suggest might be happening nationwide here?
Well, it still doesn't change the significance of those statements. In fact, up until now, you've had activist judges, and they've only been by one vote margin, so they've been very slim. And so what we've seen from the history of America up till the present, when we had the very first same-sex marriage lawsuit ever filed in the 1970s, we've only had four judges in Massachusetts, four judges in California. Now we have seven judges in Iowa, and we have, you know, a split decision in Connecticut to bring this same-sex marriage in. The fact that this legislature voted for same-sex marriage doesn't change the equation in terms of activist judges or the will of the majority of people. In fact, we have something else that's unprecedented that's happened at the same time. We have 30 states, three just in the last election, to say that marriage is between a man and a woman and put it in their state constitutions. And that those are Herculean efforts to put something on the ballot and for a statewide vote to occur, and yet we had over 62% to vote that way in Florida, 52% in California, and a similar higher 50-some percent margin in Arizona just in 2008, which brings it up to 30 states. We've got 46 states through the legislature since the mid-1990s that either have had constitutional amendments or legislative enactments saying that marriage is only between a man and a woman. So we've got this overwhelming wave in one direction, and we have a couple of aberrational blips on the screen, mostly by a one-vote margin by judges, now for the first time by the legislature. But I don't think that that undermines the overwhelming wave that continues as recently as November of 2008.
Matt, you mentioned those states that have constitutional amendments as well as those that don't have amendments but have laws defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Iowa was on that list. They had a law passed in 1998 defining marriage in the traditional form, and the Supreme Court in that state simply threw it out. So those states that have the law defined but not in the Constitution, how much danger are they in right now?
Well, they're in a lot of danger. In fact, when I was the one who drafted the Florida Defense of Marriage Act that was passed by the legislature in 1997, and then when court challenges happened to Florida, which we defended successfully 8 separate times, we moved to the next level, to the constitutional amendment. The argument against the amendment by those who were opposed was, we already have a state Defense of Marriage Act that defines marriage as a man and woman. Why do you need to go any further to put it in the Constitution? And my response was, and it's borne out by recent events, that we don't want to wake up in the newspaper and read one day that marriage is now redefined by an activist judge, or in this case, a few people in Vermont. And so I think that's why it's clear that these states need to go and pass state constitutional marriage amendments, even if they already have a state Defense of Marriage Act that clearly defines marriage and says that same-sex marriage is not recognized, because you don't want to wake up one day and find that one judge in the back room or a few legislators against the will of the people decided to rewrite the definition of marriage.
Just about 30 seconds left here with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. And Matt, we've also seen in just the last couple days here, the District of Columbia not legalized gay marriage, but recognized gay marriage is performed elsewhere inside the district. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that certainly is going to conflict with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, because they're still under the jurisdiction of the federal government, and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act says that marriage is only the union of one man and one woman. So I think that they didn't legalize same-sex marriage. I think they're walking on ground that is not legally sound under the Federal Defense of Marriage Act.
Are we going to see a massive court fight over the Defense of Marriage Act quite soon?
I think we're going to see. We've already seen court fights. It's already been upheld, but those battles continue to come up, and we need to continue to defend them because marriage is worth fighting for.
Matt, unfortunately, that needs to be the last word. Great to have you with us, as always.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matt Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. This is Dateline Washington.